people are serving a God, they don't even know how to walk with him. Once God gives you reason to see anybody's weakness through any means, it's to enable you to help that person and not to use it to finish the person. If you are of God, you will hear the word of God. That is, the word of God will have effect in your life. Not having any effect in you is because you are not of God. Hey, am I condemning you? This is consecration period now. I am, see, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. A child, if you want your child to grow up properly, have discipline and character, don't let your son or your daughter, your child, to grow up with a grandmother. Is somebody hearing me? If you want your child to grow up properly, don't leave that child to grow up with the grandmother. The grandmother cannot bring the child up because the grandmother does not want to hear the child cry. Anything the child wants, you can just give her. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And there are grandmother churches. There are grandmother churches. Is somebody ready for exploits? Are you ready? 3,000 are waiting for you. 3,000 waited for Peter. 5,000 waited another time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you will achieve after this consecration period, the extent you will achieve in your past life, you have never achieved it before. The exploits, they are waiting now. They are gathering now. Your testimony is waiting. 3,000 we are gathered there before Samson. That rain will fall on the good and the bad. That rain will fall on the seed that was planted in you. Then we will know which seed. Is it the seed that produced Cain or the seed that produced Abel? That rain will fall. And after it falls, there will be manifestations. Hallelujah. Verse 8.
But
verse
that
eight.
Which beareth thorns and briars is rejected.
The seed that will come forth, but you bear thorns, chuk. After you receive the Holy Ghost, everything around you is wild. Everything around you is wild. No truth in you. Every uncleanness you are involved in it. See pride. See pride. See Connie. See Judas. All he's seeing in Christ is how he can make more money. Amen. Verse 8 again.
But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing.
You are going to hell.
Whose end is to be burned?
You are going to hell. Because the rain you receive is supposed to produce good fruits. But now it is producing wild fruit. That is the parable also in Isaiah chapter 5. From verse 1, let's read up to verse 7.
Now will I sing to my well-beloved song of...
That is Israel, the Israel of God, yes?
A song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. Uh-huh. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof. Uh-huh. And planted it with the choicest vine. Uh-huh. And built a tower in the midst of it. And also made a winepress therein. And he looked that he should bring forth grapes, and he brought forth wild.
What was the expectation? His expectation was what?
Grapes.
He should bring grapes from which you will receive wine, sweet wine. Instead, what did he bring?
Wild grapes.
Wild one. They are grapes, oh, but they are wild. They are fruit, oh, but they are wild. If you eat it, you will die. And Christ cannot eat that type of fruit, no matter how hungry he is. Go on verse 3.
And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem,
listen very well,
and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard.
Yes.
What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it?
Imagine, a man of us here, yes.
When I looked that I should bring forth grapes, brought it forth white grapes.
Read it again.
What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that I should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes.
I'm talking to somebody here. I'm talking to somebody here. Listen very well. He said, judge between me and you. God is telling somebody, judge between me and you. What else can I do for you? You are where you are today is by my grace. There are some of us, Pastor Moses Alu, who will have known you if not for the gift of God in your life. Pastor Moses Alu, who will have known you if not for Christ, who dressed you up and put his glory upon you. Let's be sincere. That's my prayer. That's my humble meditation. I am where I am today is because of your name. I am where I am today. Who will have known me? Who will have known us? Prophet Sunday. Who will have known you if not for the gift? All of us ministers, Boboye, school you no go, English you no fit speak. So what is it that made the whole world to know you? Is Jesus, because he clothed you with a glory. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know people who have master's degree. Their salary is not more than 40,000 in a month in the ministry, government workers. 50,000 naira a try. But because of the grace of God upon me, hallelujah, upon you, Boboye, allow me to use you. I hope I'm not running you down. Everybody knows that you don't go to school, so there's nothing there. Praise the Lord. And school is not the criteria for the call of God. Therefore, there is nothing to brag about education. Before God, Apostle Paul packed all his degree. He counted it as dung, shit. I said this to the glory of God. Hallelujah. His 1 month salary of a master degree holder is what somebody will just call you and give you double that because you prayed and something happened in his life. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Don't you think with all that, he is not in expectation? After he has clothed you, he said, judge between me and you. What are you giving him in reciprocation of what he has done? Let's read on.
Verse 5. And now, go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the edge thereof, and it shall be eaten up.
You see?
I break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it.
Hey! See the effect. It will not be our portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Verse 7, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel.
Is the house of Israel, and the church of Jesus Christ is the spiritual Israel of God.
And the men of Judah is pleasant plants. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry.
Instead of them to bring good grapes, they brought out wild grapes. So, what is happening? Why will it be wild? Examine yourself. Apostle Paul said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Which tree are you? Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 to verse 35.
Either make the tree good.
Either you make the tree good.
And its fruits good.
And the fruit also good.
Or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt.
Uh-huh.
But the tree is known by its fruits.
The tree. Which type of tree are you? It is your fruit that will determine the type of fruit that you, the fruit that determines the type of tree that you are. Read on, please.
Verse 34. O generation of vipers.
He called Jews. He said they are vipers.
How go can on. Ye, being evil, speak good things?
Inside of you is continually evil, evil. How can you ever speak anything good with your mouth?
For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
It is a reflection of your conversion. The type of heart you have that your mouth speaks. If your heart is wicked, your mouth will be speaking wickedness. If your heart is bad, corrupt, all the words that will come out of your mouth will be corrupt. And if you have a sweet heart, all the words that will be coming out of your mouth will be blessing, sweet, 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 sweet. Anybody that hears you, he'll be happy, 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 happy. But when your heart is corrupt, anything you give out is arrow, is arrow. People come around you. And it's cry, 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 cry.
A good man out of the good treasure of the earth bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things.
Now, see the evil things that come out from a wicked man's treasure is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. They are the wild fruit, wild grapes that Jesus can never eat this type of thing. Don't come to him. He will never fellowship with you. He will never, never fellowship with you. I cannot say it harder. This is not what he wants to eat. What are they?
Now, the works of the flesh.
They are works of the flesh.
Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like.
What if this is all that you are producing? If this is identified as your lifestyle, I say it in the name of the Lord, your origin is not of God. No matter the gift, no matter the grace, no matter the number of people you have converted to God, your origin is not of God. Why? John chapter 8. From verse 39. Let's read it up to verse 47. Listen to what Christ was saying.
They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father.
They were telling Jesus, I am born again. I am member of Brother Assembly. I am this. I am this. I am this. God called me. God called me in the mountain. God called me from the day I was born. God called me from my mother's womb. Go on.
Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham.
Okay, now. If God call you from your mother's womb, only, then you will confirm that not by what you say, but by the life that you live. Go on.
But now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God.
You are busy disgracing that same God that you claim call you. And call you until you know the day, the time, the hour, and see the life you are living, disgracing him. That call is questionable.
This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father.
Now, let me tell you your father, who your father is. It's not Abraham. Oh, it's not Jesus. Oh, it's not Jesus. Oh, you didn't get born again by Jesus. Oh, you got born again. In fact, you were not born again.
Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father,
if God were your father,
ye would love me.
You will love Jesus. And if you love somebody, you will not hurt that person. Go on.
For I proceeded forth and came from God.
Yes.
Neither came I of myself, but he sent me.
Yes.
Why do you not understand my speech?
If you are from God, why are you not understanding his speech? How do I know you don't understand? Is the life you live is not, you are not responding to what he's teaching.
Even because ye cannot hear my word.
Because there is nothing in you to hear God's word.
Ye of your father, the devil.
Oh yeah, see your origin now.
And the loss of your father ye will do.
The same lifestyle is what you will live.
He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Hey,
he is a murderer. Amen. And murder starts from the heart. If you hate anybody in your heart, hatred is a spirit of murder. If you decide to murder somebody's character, assassination, character assassination. It's not only taking somebody's physical life, you can assassinate the person, the character. You can destroy the person's character, spoil the person's image. Oh, praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are a murderer. And your father is what we want you to know. If it's not your father, then transfer by the renewing of your soul, of your spirit, of your life. Move away from that line of life. Because by their fruit, we know them. Read on, please.
He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth.
That is your father.
Because there is no truth in him.
Uh-huh.
When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it.
Anybody, anytime you tell a lie, the spirit that inspire you is the devil. And if you tell a lie and there is nothing condemning you inside, it is even a further evidence of your origin. Because lie is a stain in the garment of righteousness. You want to clean it up immediately by asking for forgiveness and go to the person you told a lie. I beg, I lied. And this is the reason I lied. It's better you get angry with me than for God to get angry with me. I'm sorry. And you too, if the person come and say, I'm sorry, and you decided to use that against the person, it's because you too, you're a devil. Because a true child of God, once somebody say, I am sorry, he has disarmed you. That is why these serpents will come, deliberately offend you, finish. Before you even show anger, I'm sorry now, and say, I'm sorry now. Because they know you as a Christian, once you hear sorry, you are disarmed. If anybody comes to confess, I did this wrong to you, and you use it against the person, the punishment that the person will have had, now that he confessed and you are using it, comes upon you. It's a principle. Somebody come to confess to you secret sin where he commit, then you use it against the person. Or you see a revelation of a weakness of somebody and use it against the person. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. People are serving a God, they don't even know how to walk with him. Once God gives you reason to see anybody's weakness through any means, it's to enable you to help that person and not to use it to finish the person. Have we finished? Read on verse 47.
Verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's word.
Are you hearing now? If you are of God, you will hear the word of God. That is, the word of God will have effect in your life.
Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God.
It is not having any effect in you, it's because you are not of God. Hey, am I condemning you? This is consecration period now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. A child, if you want your child to grow up properly, have discipline and character, don't let your son or your daughter, your child, to grow up with a grandmother. Is somebody hearing me? you want your child to grow up properly, don't leave that child to grow up with the grandmother. The grandmother cannot bring the child up because the grandmother does not want to hear the child cry. Anything the child wants, you can just give her. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And there are grandmother churches. There are grandmother churches. My brother in Germany went to look for a church some time ago. When we went there, I wanted to go there for a program. And when he went to a church in Munich there, in Germany. They went there to look for if we can use the church. And the pastor was saying, no. I know that your pastor. We don't like anybody coming here to say anything that will bring condemnation on the people. Don't say anything that we condemn the people. No. Now, that is a grandmother church. You commit sin. And all they tell you is, come on Wednesday, peep through one window. And the Reverend Father will tell you, your sins be forgiven. Amen. Amen. That's a grandmother church. Praise the Lord. Where you want a newborn baby that is born, oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen very well. When a newborn baby is born, it is not the mother that births the child. It is a midwife, specially trained. Hallelujah. I saw a clip for Yvonne. The guy was there, the first child, and then the nurse brought out the baby. The midwife brought out the baby from the mother, and the baby will not cry. So he was spanking the baby, so that the baby will cry. The father was looking, are you beating my child? He beat her, now he face up, begin to blow up, they beat him. What happened? Why are you beating my baby? The mother is trained, the midwife is trained to make the baby cry. Crying is evidence of life. You are dead if the word of God cannot break you down. Grandmother church, we never point your sin to you. All they will teach you is grace, don't worry, grace, nothing, because they don't want you to feel condemned. And the Bible says a woman that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Dead, and that woman is the church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 3. He said, you are of your father the devil. From verse 6. Read it up to verse 12.
Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not.
Can you see? Whosoever abide, if you will abide in him, you cannot sin. The reason we live the type of life we live is because there is a disconnection from the Spirit.
Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him.
If you enjoy living a life of sin, it is because you don't know him. You have not seen him, no matter what manifestation you have.
Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous.
Because God is righteous, you will also live a righteous life.
He that committed sin is of the devil.
You see your origin? If you enjoy living a life of sin, you're of the devil. Let's read on.
For the devil sinneth from the beginning.
Yes.
For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the
devil.
And
what is the works of the devil? Is those works of the flesh. That is the reason he was manifested. Go on.
Whosoever is born of God does not commit
if
sin.
If you are born again, you cannot enjoy sin.
For his seed remaineth in him.
The reason is because the word that you receive is in you. Why? Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you.
And he cannot sin because he is born
of God. Because you are born of God. Therefore, you can. When you say you cannot sin here, is that you cannot enjoy sin.
In this, the children of God are manifest.
Yes.
And the children of the devil.
This is how you know the difference between the two groups of people.
Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God.
Uh-huh.
Neither he that loveth not his brother.
Uh-huh.
But this is the message that he had from the beginning.
That was?
That we should love one another.
Uh-huh.
Not as Cain, who was of that wicked
one. Because his origin is of that wicked one. Therefore, there is no brotherly love.
And slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous.
Anytime anybody hates you, it is because he knows you are better than him. Just for exercising a grace God give you, somebody will be envious of you. Just because anytime you see anybody envious of you, hate you, don't reply this person with the same hatred. It is God's own way of letting you know you are better than that person. You are better. Amen. A tree that has no fruit, nobody will stone it. There's something good there. That's why everybody they stone them. Amen. Let's read on.
Verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you.
If the world hates you.
We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Now that is one evidence that you know you have eternal life is brotherly love. It's brotherly love. Not as Ishmael also. Ishmael was jealous of Isaac because he knew who Isaac was. But they are the same father. Oh. Amen. One carried a promise. The other one does not carry a promise. Yet, they are calling on the same God as their father. We are not carrying the same promise because we are church members. Because we're in the same group in the church. Therefore, we are all children of God. We are all children of God. There are children of promise. That God is going to glorify himself in them. Listen, the greatest glorification of a believer is not the gift that you operate. It is the life that you live. It's the life that you live. And when you are confronted with the world, the trouble, everything, the enemy, what God will use to answer you is not your gift, it is your character. It is the life you live that will answer the enemy. Because when they speak evil against you, when the people come close to you, the life that will you live, oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Will answer for you. God knows how to stage it. Praise the Lord. God knows how to stage it. God has done that several times for me and closed my enemy's mouth by the life that I live. Not knowing what they have spoken concerning me, but when they come close to me, they go back and say, you said this one is like this, but when I met him, this is not what I saw. God knows how to fight for the innocent. That's why he said, don't fight for me. The problem we have is that we have no patience to allow God to fight for us. There were some ministers that were here one time at the Keja cantonment. when this ministry first started, we used to go there every Friday for evangelism. And we had many converts from the barrack. Some of them are still here till now. And somehow something happened, and those ministers had to leave this church. And they convinced their commander, a lieutenant colonel then, and I'm sure he's watching us now from Makudi. You are watching us now because you follow us. It was a lieutenant colonel, their commander. They went and convinced him with all manner of prophecy, and he left the church. And when I called him, "Why have you stopped coming to church?" He said he came to church by prophecy, and by prophecy he's leaving. I said, "You are correct. I'm only calling to make sure I have not personally offended you. Them that are led by the Spirit are the children of God. The Spirit leads you to go, you go. And I should not fight you because of it." Amen. And because he left, he was the commander, I decided to withdraw so that it would not look as if we are competing with those ministers over the program. But they didn't have a church. Shortly after that, one of the soldiers told me that a new commander has come. That one has been posted out. And when I asked who was the new commander, he was my junior in the military school. And I had not seen him for more than 20 years. And when we were in the military school, they were the born-again Christians. We were the Igbo smokers. And I said, "Wow, this opportunity for me to introduce the message to him. He'll be excited that I am now not only born again, but I'm even a pastor." So I told those two ministers, "We are coming back to that place, to that program. After all, you don't have church. When you go preach there, finish, only that you collect their offering. You don't have anywhere to take them to. I'm coming back there because I know the officer." Listen, I'm telling you, everybody has his own story. The next thing I saw was a message from that, their former commander. "Brother Moses is not a Christian. He's not a Christian. Disappointed. Serpent seed. All manner of things." He spoke through his new pastor in Port Harcourt. And I wanted to reply him. I wrote a very lengthy letter to send to him. Something spoke to me to ignore him. Then Ikeja bomb blast started. Then we decided to go to the barrack to greet our members. I was there with my wife. So when we got there, I said, "This man's family, they are still here, though he's in Port Harcourt. Let's just branch and greet them." And when we got there, as we were driving in front of the house, he was in front of the house making a call. We greeted him. He was answering me one kind. I said, "Well, I didn't even know you were around. We just came to greet the people affected by the bomb blast." Then he finished making his call. Said, "Let's go in." As we went in, the new commander was sitting down there, and he jumped up and said, "Ogalu, Ogalu," and then he hugged me, and I said, "Wow, you have not changed. I saw you last more than 20 years ago." And he said, "It's true, more than 20 years ago we saw last." And this old commander, he said, "But we're not the same ourself now." They went and told that old commander that I came to the barrack, and because that commander is my friend, I told them to chase them out of the barrack, that they should not come. That's what he was told. That's why he was fighting me. Now, the story they told you about all the nonsense that they say I did, it was God that staged this now to answer for me. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And he told me, say, "But when they see now, I think when they see for here." Then the guy told me, said, no. He said, "I've not seen Ogalu for more than 20 years. I said, "I am just seeing him now." When we finished and he was seeing us off, I told him, I "Hope my God has answered you." He said, "Brother, I have seen it." From that day, he called those people and told them never to come near him again. Never to. But boy, you know the story, you know them. That is how my God fought for me. God, allow God to fight your battle for you. Any evil they speak against you, don't worry, don't worry. Just commit it to God. He knows how to justify us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because they were going to the man to collect his tithe and his offering. Nothing more than that. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. By their fruits, you will know their origin. By their fruits, you will know their origin. Matthew 23, verse 25 to verse 28.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, but ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion.
Inside your heart, outside, everybody is seeing you as a Christian. Inside, Uncle God, while we physically, we are seeing you physically, God is seeing you inside of us. Go on.
Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that is within the cup and platter.
This is why we are having this consecration period. Clean the inside of your cup. Clean it. Clean it before he can fill it up.
That the outside of them may be clean also.
If inside is not clean, outside cannot be clean. Read on.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres.
He said, whited sepulchre. You know what the whited sepulchre is? Grave where they take white marble, white everything, decorate them. What happens?
Which indeed appear beautiful outward.
Outward, a very beautiful grave.
But are within full of dead men's bones.
Inside that, dead men's bones.
And of
inside
all uncleanness.
That decorated sepulchre.
Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous.
Before men, everybody is seeing Pastor Moses. He may be seeing you as a righteous person.
But within, ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity.
And it will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. And there is a category of people I want to minister to with this verse. Luke chapter 6. From verse 39. Keep reading until I tell you to stop.
And he spake a parable unto them.
Yes.
Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?
Okay.
The disciple is not above his master.
Uh-huh.
But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master.
Anytime I talk about gifted brothers and sisters, there is a tendency for our minds to go to those, you know, that hold microphone. Those that hold microphone, they are ministers that are close enough with me. They hear enough from me. So I will not use the altar to address them. I talk with them. In fact, every week, we have meeting and I talk to them so that their gift will be beneficial to them both here and hereafter. So they are not the ones I'm talking to. In this church and online, those that God is using are many. You are the ones I'm talking to. Because, amen, once God begins to use you, you are looked up to. People look up to you. People look up to you. Don't rubbish your faith with your character. Satan knows he cannot take the gift away from you. Will Abraham put it this way? You have any precious thing, and Satan knows he cannot take it away from you. He said he will push you into a mud, into a gutter, so that by the time you come out of that gutter, put the gift and yourself become useless, unattractive. Your testimony can make your gift unattractive. The character that we live can make your gift unattractive. Unattractive. There are some of us that operate the gift for vain glory. You want to be known, you want to be seen. And God hates it. God hates it. And those of us who are gifted, we can be better than where we are now. The gift that you're operating, we are supposed to improve on it. Go higher, 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 higher. But sometimes, because of our character, that gift is stagnated. It cannot go beyond one level. And because it cannot go beyond any level, then you do enhancement. You do enhancement for vain glory. Because if I don't take time now, Olumide will overtake me in preaching. Therefore, let me enhance. Oh, let me enhance. Oh, let me enhance. Praise God. Olumide told me on Friday night, and he repeated it again this morning. He said, "Daddy, I want a double portion of your anointing." Then I told him, I said, "So that I will become irrelevant in this church, Abby." You want to take over this church from me? Who would turn and look at me if you get double what I have now? Then the small, small, small offering, where they get, nobody go call. Now you then go call the gift. Praise God. Hallelujah. Before Elisha could get double portion, Elijah had to go. The person that will get double portion of the anointing on Pastor Moses will have to faithfully follow Pastor Moses. Follow, 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 follow. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. You, every time, many of us here, all our ministry is to be pointing, looking for the fault in other Christians. Oh yeah, read on. Listen to what Jesus is saying.
Verse 41. Yes. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thy own eye?
A small one, small fault in your another Christian brother, another Christian sister's life. You they look and they talk and they talk and they talk. You have forgotten that his own is a mote, your own is a big beam in your own eye.
Edda, how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thy eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thy own eye?
Ooh, you can see people's fault, and you cannot see your own fault. Amen. He said it is impossible. The evidence that your eye can see is that you will first see the one around you. You cannot see the one around you. Which eye can you see another person's own? You cannot correct somebody when you yourself, you're full of iniquities. Yes?
Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thy own eye.
Deal with your character first.
And then shall thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy
brother's eye. Then you will have confidence to correct other people.
For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit.
Oh.
Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit.
Okay.
For every tree is known by his own fruit.
Yes.
For of thorns men do not gather figs.
Oh.
Nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes.
Uh-huh.
A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good.
Oh yes.
And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil.
Uh-huh.
For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh.
Uh-huh. Go on.
And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?
Again.
And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?
Jesus is asking somebody here again. Read it again.
And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which
why
I say?
Why you say he's your Lord and you will not do the things he tells you to do? How is he your Lord? Go on.
Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like.
And you are, then he continued.
He's like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock.
Uh-huh.
And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house.
Uh-huh.
And could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock.
Uh-huh.
But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently.
Hey.
And immediately it fell.
It fell.
And the ruin of that house.
You will not fall in the name of Jesus Christ. I say you will not fall in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. John chapter 15. The first 6 verses there is admonishment for the Lord Jesus Christ.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away.
And what does he do? What does he do?
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away.
If you don't bear fruit, you are useless to him. He will take it away.
And every branch that beareth fruit.
Now listen. Every branch now, every one of us that you are bearing fruit, see what he does.
He purges it.
He will purge it.
That it may bring forth more fruit.
Because you can be better than what you are now. You can always be better.
Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
Yes.
Abide in me and I in you.
Yes.
As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me.
You know, this morning is my discussion between me and my God. This was what I was saying. I say, Lord, make me your robot. I discovered that it is what you program in the robot, and it's limited to what you program there. If it is not programmed, the robot cannot respond. It only responds according to the program that is put there. Oh, hey, them that are led by the Spirit of God. That is those that are programmed. Programmed by the Spirit of God. You will live your life only according to the dictates of the Spirit. I say, Lord, if a human being can program a robot and it will work, it will never go outside of the program. Because it has no program of its own. It cannot develop program of its own. I say, Lord, in this consecration period, at the end of it all, make me your robot. I'm giving somebody a prayer point. Go on.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit.
If you want to bring forth much fruit for Jesus to eat, abide in him.
For without me, ye can,
you
do,
can
nothing.
Do nothing.
If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned.
Is that not what happened to Israel? Is that not what happened to Queen Vashti?
If ye abide in me and my words abide in you.
See the fellowship.
Ye shall ask what ye will.
This is the only thing that guarantees fellowship.
And it shall be done unto
you. This is the only thing that guarantees. You see, his word abiding in you. Not fasting and prayer mountain. No. Just ask. When my son, my daughter, when they offend me, they find it very difficult to come close to me because they know daddy is angry with me. So it is with God. When you are in fellowship, when you live a life pleasing before him, just open your mouth. You all just open your mouth and ask. Just ask. I repeat. While you give so much time in going to the mountains to fast and to pray, give more time also in checking your character, your relationship with God. The life, your daily life you live with God. Can I tell you something? Listen, church. The number of hours you spend praying to God, hallelujah, will not achieve 1/10 of the benefit you receive from spending time to study the word to check your life. For if a man's way pleases the Lord, he will make the enemy, not you, your own enemy, it has effect. The enemy will be at peace with you. 40 years, Solomon did not fight any battle. Peace everywhere. Trouble started only when he fired up and started marrying those unbelieving women, and they started taking him to their shrines. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. Hallelujah. Why did Samson destroy himself? As long as he obeyed the word of God. What is obey? What was the word of God for him? You are a Nazarite. The vow, the hair on your head, don't cut it. A very simple commandment. Very simple commandment. Very simple. If all that I need to have that anointing to be destroying and making exploits in the spirit is a particular word of God given to me, don't cut the lock. If you cut it off, I will become as an ordinary man. What will be your attitude if you are the one? You will protect that hair. Hey, Jesus. You will keep it as a lifetime secret that the enemy should not know. The enemy is looking at you, church. Can I say it again? There are your relationship and the way God deals with you, make it personal between you and God. Amen. Your prayer hour, don't disclose it to anybody. The time you normally, if you are going for prayer, don't tell only people that need to know. When the enemy gets to know the secret of the grace you have, he will go to the source and fight it and weaken it and destroy it. How many times Delilah, all that she was interested in is to know the secret of his strength. And he fell in the laps of a woman. He told the woman, once you cut off this, I have finished. Where did he remain again? The woman drugged him to sleep. And as he slept, she crept the hair. And he became, amen. What happened? Oh, I want us to learn a lesson here. It was after then, Samson knew that without God, I can do nothing. It was then you will know. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's learn a lesson there. From verse 5.
And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you.
Listen very well. Listen very well. Because he said, when you produce fruit, he said, he will purge you so that you will produce more fruit. Go ahead.
As unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked.
Now let me tell you about the chastening of the Lord. Servants of God, listen very well. Ogwajo, listen very well. Boboye, I want to get your attention. Listen very well. Brother, sister, listen very well. If you're a true seed of God, if you're a true child of God, listen. There is nothing, no act of disobedience you will do that you will go free. I repeat. If you are a true seed of God, any sin you willingly do, Onduka, before you go back to Spain, listen to me. There are many of us, the things we are suffering, it is the chastening of the Lord. The things, if you find yourself in any form of iniquity, the first thing that God will do with you is he will take away your peace so that you will repent. But if you reject it, you still go ahead and you're flowing in it, then he will bring out his whip. And he can use anything to deal with you. He can cause even depression in your life through frustration. He can cause a sickness. And if you continue, instead of repenting, even in that you still continue, he can take your life. He can kill you. The problem with us, man, is that we forget history. We don't use experience to teach us how to move forward. Go back to the history of your life since you gave your life to Christ. You will see how he kept dealing with you. A certain frustration that came to you, if you are sincere, you know what brought it upon you. After you suffered, oh, glory be to God. The first thing they did to Samson, they plucked off his eye. Imagine how miserable somebody that was raised up to deal with the Philistines are now dealing with him. We are raised up to deal with sin, but sin is now dealing with you. Samson was raised up, amen, to show that it is not you, it is God. History tells us that Samson was of a small stature, so that you won't say it is because he's a giant, that's why he can pull the gates of a city and carry it for how long, and everybody will be running away, giants will be running away from him. For without God you can do nothing. Many of us, including business frustration, when you have paid, you cry enough, then he will have mercy on you and give you another chance. But watch it. You are supposed to use your former experience and now know how to work with him so that it will not happen again. But man, once you are settled, he packages you. He blows you up again. You forget and swim again in it. So you have a life of up and down, up and down, up and down. Read on.
Verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
If he does not deal with you, he doesn't love you.
And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth.
Yes.
If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons.
Uh-huh.
For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?
Who is a son, true son here, that your father will not chasten you when you do something wrong?
But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers.
We are all, we are all partakers of God's chastening.
Then are ye bastards and not sons.
We are not bastards, we are sons.
Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us.
Yes.
And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits,
hey,
and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure.
Uh-huh. But
he for our profit.
God chastens us is for our profit.
That we might be partakers of his holiness.
Oh, glory be to God.
Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous,
uh-huh,
but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness.
The effect is to yield a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Next verse.
Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down.
So if there's this advice, if there's anybody here now during this period of consecration, what you are going through, you are sincere enough to know that it's God dealing with you. The effect of dealing with you is, what did he say? Lift up what?
Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down.
Do you know why he said lift up the hands which hang down? That is, you have stopped worshiping God.
And the feeble knees.
You have stopped prayers. Lift it up. Come back. It's opportunity. Come back to fellowship. Lift up holy hands before the Lord and worship him. Confidently go on your knees again and be in fellowship in prayer with God. Read on.
And make straight paths for your feet,
uh-huh,
lest that which is lame be turned out of the way,
uh-huh,
but let it rather be healed.
That which has been weakened as a result of God's chastening, don't let it take you away. Let it instead be strengthened. Let your prayer life be strengthened. Let your ministry be strengthened. Let the whole of your life generally, your relationship with God, your spiritual life, let it be strengthened, empowered. This is what we are achieving this period, yes?
Follow peace with all men.
Follow peace with all men.
And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
You can't see God without holiness, yes?
Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God.
You see?
Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you,
uh-huh,
and thereby many be defiled.
Uh-huh. Bitterness causes defilement of your heart, your spirit, yes?
Lest there be any fornicator.
Fornicators.
Or profane person, as Esau, who for one muscle of meat sold his birthright.
There are people that sell their birthright. It is your birthright when you are born again. Prosperity is your birthright. Divine health is your birthright. Hallelujah. God's protection is your birthright. Anybody that will go and compromise your faith to get any worldly thing is a profane person. You don't know your birthright. You are selling your birthright. If you have to fornicate with a man to get what you are looking for from him, you are selling your birthright. If a man refuses to take care of you, God will raise men and women that will take care of you. Friday night, there was a sister that was raised up. Prophet Sunday gave the prophecy, correct? Is the sister here today? She said, the sister, those of you who are here during the vigil, amen. I think we were even making reference to that, Pastor Elvis, this morning. How God works. See how God's mercy is. She made up her mind, frustration. No man will see her pants. She's ready to serve God. And if she will suffer because of it, let her suffer. Until, you know, Satan will make sure you go through hell to see whether you will change your mind or not. But she says, I have decided and have made up my mind. I will serve my God. And at the end, what was she doing? She will go to bus stop. Five pretty girl like that will go to bus stop. What was she selling that bus stop? Go and sell Indomie for bus stop, so that she can have food to eat. She will not have money to buy expensive cream for her body to shine. But her spiritual life is shining. And that is more important. At the appointed time, God will allow you to go through to see whether your testimony will be like that of Job. Many of us here, for food we eat, you will compromise your faith. I was at the altar here. I saw a hand of an angel that tapped somebody's shoulder, and she was the one that came out. And the Lord told me that it was an empowerment and that God is going to announce her worldwide. I didn't understand what that meant. And Prophet Sunday came later, called a name and called revelation, and she was the one. And you saw the word of the Lord concerning her. It was Prophet Sunday that brought out the discernment. This is the decision you took. This is what you are doing as a result. This is how much you are humiliating yourself. And this, and God is saying, for that he has remembered you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have we finished reading? Go on.
Verse 17.
Yes.
For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing.
You see? When it is time now to inherit the blessing, profane person Esau, what happened?
He was rejected.
He was rejected.
For he found no place of repentance.
There is a borderline. When you cross, there will be no more repentance.
Though he sought it carefully with tears.
If you go to verse 25, therefore.
See that you refuse not him that speaketh.
That is the admonishment.
For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth?
Uh-huh.
Much more shall not we escape,
uh-huh,
if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven.
That is the admonishment. born,
whose voice then shook the earth. But now he had promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven.
Very soon, the earth will shake, heaven will shake. Yes?
And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain.
And the only thing that cannot be shaken are those who are rooted in the word of God. All other things are soon going to be shaken. The only ones that will abide are those who are abiding in Christ. Read on.
Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved.
The kingdom we receive cannot be moved. Oh, glory be to God.
Therefore, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably.
This is the only purpose of this consecration period. That we will come to an essay where we will serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Verse 28.
For our God is a consuming fire.
He is a consuming fire. Brethren, listen. James chapter 5, verse 7.
Be patient, therefore, brethren.
And verse 8. Listen very well. Patient.
Unto the coming of the Lord.
Yes.
Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it.
The fruit that he will eat. And he has been patiently waiting for it. And that husbandman is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Until he received the early and latter rain.
He's waiting because there is an anointing he's going to release. It is called the rain. The latter rain. And the early rain. The early rain was in Acts chapter 2. The latter rain is the bride's anointing. It is anointing that is the end time, the harvesting anointing. He has been waiting patiently. Go on.
Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord,
draweth nigh. And where is he waiting? This is how we should look at it. He's waiting. Where is he waiting? In Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 and verse 20.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Yes.
Be zealous therefore and repent.
See, the purpose of whatever a true child of God is going through is to make you repent. Brethren, after this period, let's see a better me. Let's see a better me. January this year, we made a vow that we will serve God this year better than we served last year. Have you been keeping to that vow? He will demand it from you. That's why many of us may be suffering some things we are suffering. Because we are still continuing the same way we were serving God in the past. No, this year it must change. Opportunity has come for God to help you to change. Read on.
Behold, I stand at the door.
He is waiting patiently. Where?
At the door.
He is standing at the door. Which door? The door of your heart. Yes?
And knock.
He is knocking even now.
If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me.
He is waiting even now. I repeat, even now. He is knocking at the door of somebody's heart now. The only thing you will do is just open. Just open your heart to tell him, Lord, come in and do your work in my life. You have no other thing to do than just submit. Submit yourself. Submit yourself. You have wandered far away from him. He came looking for you. He has reached you. He is now standing, waiting to take over. But he cannot take over unless you open the door of your heart. And there is a reward for doing that. Verse 21.
To him that overcometh.
If you are able to overcome all these distractions.
Will I grant to sit with me in my throne?
That is the rapture watch.
Even as I also overcame, and yes. I'm set down with my Father in his throne.
And what did he say in verse 22?
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says.
Because some people have ears, but they cannot hear. And you cannot hear because you are not of God. Somebody here, therefore, that needs restoration. The prayer of Samson. This is how it took place. That's my last scripture in Judges chapter 16, verse 19. Let's read the story.
Judges 16, 19.
And the story of Samson is the story of every believer that has backslidden. Go on.
And she made him sleep upon her knees.
Delilah made him to sleep.
And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him.
What has the Lord shaven off your spiritual life? Shaven off your prayer life? Shaven off your study life? You can't read the board anymore. Fellowship. You have no interest in anything about the kingdom. Do you belong to any group in the church? Where you are? Are you a worker in any department in the church? How are you contributing to the progress of the gospel? What do you do with your finances? What do you do with your extra time? Do you sacrifice any part of your life for the betterment, advancement of the kingdom? You used to do it before. Do you go out in evangelism again? Have you not observed you stop and some other people are carrying on? He has shaven it off. Go on.
And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him.
And that is why the enemy is afflicting you with the sickness, with all the weaknesses, with all the frustrations of life. He said, break the edge of God's protection, and serpent will bite you. Yes?
And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him.
He had departed and he didn't know.
But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes.
Be careful, all of you that go to a shrine to find trouble with shrine. It happened last year. You went and you brought down the shrine of a tough shrine in a village. They were hailing you, Samson, Samson. This year now, you want to go again to another village as at last, the way you went last year. But how have you been living since the last time, the last exploits you did? You want to go out as before, Abby? Hey! Satan knows every one of us. Satan knows every one of us. Go on.
And brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house.
Oh God.
Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. Do you know something? After he was shaven.
Do you know something? The Bible is saying that while he was in that bondage, in that imprisonment, he said he was grinding. Amen. The act of grinding there, hallelujah. Amen. He was doing something. He was doing something. He was taking a reflection of his life. He was reduced to what he is at that time. What did he say?
And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began
while
to grow.
While he was there, the restoration was taking place. Amen. Church, no matter what happened, whatever you go through, God has not forsaken you. You didn't say amen. Whether you say amen or not, amen, he has not forsaken you. It is the condition of your heart he's looking at. Once you can realize, I brought this upon myself, and not to start shouting, God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Upon all I have done this, upon all I have done this, upon all I have done this, you are justifying yourself. You will receive restoration like that. But when you break down, a broken spirit, a contrite heart, and a broken spirit, God will not forsake. The Bible assures us that. Read on.
Verse 23.
The hair began to grow again.
Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god. And
the
to rejoice.
Enemy is rejoicing, thinking he has finished with you.
But they said,
but he doesn't know that you have sorted out yourself with God during this period. Go on.
For they said, our God had delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God had delivered into our hands our enemy,
hey,
and the destroyer of our country,
hey,
which slew many of us.
Hey. You know, before you read verse 25, you know, sometime last year, or see last year or so, I was sharing with some of the ministers. In a revelation, I saw that my hand was handcuffed. And a hand came to loose the handcuff and I was free. And when I came out of that revelation, I said, what does this mean? So I have been under arrest. Hey, I will never forget it. For a long time, many of us, some things are shown to you to take a reflection in your life. And I look, I say, for me to be chained and cough like that, that means the enemy caught me. Only God knows what I've been prevented from achieving. But see the mercy of God. I didn't know. But he came by himself and loosed it. May the Lord have mercy upon every one of us. God, we see your ignorance. Maybe some of us ignorantly found ourselves into something that the enemy took advantage and bound us. Before the end of this program, there will be a deliverance. I said there will be a deliverance. And so after that, it was necessary for me to take a look at my life. What am I doing that the enemy can come and chain me? Another time, I found myself locked up in a room. And someone came and opened the gate from the compound. I was sitting down there, I was looking at the gate opened. And the man that is kept to watch over me walked in and was supposed to see everywhere locked. And another was asking him, what happened? Why is the gate open? And he said, an angel came and opened the gate and he put his hand on his head. It was then I said, what am I still doing here? And I stood up and I walked through the gate and I went out. Then I remember that he is the one that opened the door and no man shut. But why will I as a pastor be locked up? It got me troubled. I decided to take a look again at my spiritual life. What am I doing that the enemy will lock me up like that? And all I know is that means I am supposed to go higher in the grace than I am now. Something is wrong somewhere. Moses Alu, take an inward look at yourself. That's the whole purpose of the revelation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's finish Samson.
Verse 25. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may make us pots.
They are making caricature of you now because of your estate.
And they called for Samson out of the prison.
A revival is coming.
And he made them spots.
Yes.
And they set him between the pillars.
They were making caricature of him. Hey! Hey! Witches in your village are making caricature of you. You cannot finish that building there. They know they are the ones that stopped you in the spirit. And you are carrying Bible. And you are preaching in the village. They will gather and say, look at him. You are only entertaining them. When you are beating your drum, hey, who's our anointed? They will join you. Hey, who's our anointed? Who's our anointed? You're only entertaining them. They know where they have put you. Samson, read on.
And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house
standeth. Oh, listen very well now from this verse. Again, suffer me.
And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand,
What did he say?
Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth.
And the pillars were standing, the house was standing on two pillars. Go on.
That I may lean upon them.
He want to lean upon the pillars. Hey. Go on.
Now the house was full of men and women,
uh-huh,
and all the lords of the Philistines were there,
uh-huh,
and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women.
3,000. Are you ready? Is somebody ready for exploit? Are you ready? 3,000 are waiting for you. 3,000 waited for Peter. 5,000 waited another time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you will achieve after this consecration period will, the extent you will achieve in your past life, you have never achieved it before. The exploit, they are waiting now. They are gathering now. Your testimony is waiting. 3,000 we are gathered there before Samson. Read on.
3,000 men and women that beheld why Samson made spots.
Uh-huh.
And Samson called unto the Lord.
Hear his prayer now.
Oh Lord God, remember me, I pray thee.
Somebody shout, oh Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. Stand up. Say it again. Oh Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. Say it again. Say very loud.
And strengthen me.
Remain standing.
And strengthen me, I pray thee.
See the prayer. I didn't say everybody. Those I am talking to, you know your estate before, you know what estate you are in now. Brethren, you can be better than where you are now. Pray that prayer. What did he say?
And strengthen me, I pray thee.
Uh-huh.
Only this once.
Uh-huh.
Oh God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.
Hey! The vengeance there is not for people to die. It's for your glory to be restored so that you will be celebrated again. And what happened?
And Samson took hold of the two middle
pillars. This is how God answered him.
Upon uh-huh. which the house stood.
One hand to the left. Go on.
And on which it was borne up.
Uh-huh.
Of the one which with his right hand.
Uh-huh.
And of the other with his left.
Old and New Testament, the word of God, are the two pillars that Samson must hold onto now if you want the restoration. Yes?
And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines.
Let me die with the Philistines.
And he bowed himself with all his might.
Uh-huh.
And the house fell upon the Lord
uh-huh.
and upon all the people that were therein.
Uh-huh.
So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life.
Hey, somebody, that is going to be your testimony. Go back to verse 28. Verse 28 again.
And Samson called unto the Lord.
Listen to the prayer. Say after me. Oh Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. And strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once. Say after me. Only this once, oh God. Only this once. Oh, open your mouth and begin to pray now. Something is about to happen. Something is about to happen now. Thank you, Jesus. Is that your prayer? Pray now. Give me one more chance. Give me another chance. That's your prayer now. That's your prayer. That's your prayer. One more chance, oh Lord. One more chance. Give me another chance.
Restore to me the joy of thy salvation.
Restore.
Oh Lord, my God.
It's a prayer for every sincere person.
Restore to me.
Oh yes, Lord.
The joy of thy salvation. Oh Lord.
You are my God. Souls to you, Lord. I will cause your name to be glorified among the heathen. Give me one more chance. I'm talking to somebody.
You are my God. Restore to me.
It's a rapture watch.
Restore to me.
Oh, the joy of my salvation. Oh yes.
Oh Lord,
oh Lord,
my God,
oh Lord,
my God, restore to me, restore to me.
to God. Talk to God. Oh Lord, you are my How many hearts have you arrested today, Lord?